by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors, the middle of November already, which means hunting seasons have been underway for a couple of months now, and Janet Millick is with us. And Janet, you're kind of on location this week in Dubois, where there's a lot of wild stuff going on around there because of the pack trail fire that happened there, so things have been a little fishy.
Yeah, maybe not a little fishy, right? But a little bit flamey, a little fiery. Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting year. You talk about where we are. We worried, you know, all fall. It was hot and dry. We panicked. We had the crazy fires all over the state. Then we got 15 inches of snow in Casper, you know, just an amazing wet snow. This week we're here in Dubois and we've got 7 inches sitting here at our wildlife camp. And, you know, deer everywhere. It is just the craziest thing I've seen in a long time. We are all sitting around commenting on how fantastic the wildlife is here right now. And a good reminder of, you know, winter range use and where things are. And I have with me Reagan, and she has been living through all of these fantastic fires. She's my position in Jackson. And, so it's just been a crazy fall for everybody to try to be balancing all of the wet, dry flames and no flames.
And now we get that Wyoming cold that just kind of hit us over the last few days, where this morning Brandon and I were talking about how frosty it was walking out this morning. And I even started my truck twice and it was still all frozen up.
That is classic, right? If it's not one thing, it's another here. And just a reminder to folks that how much that changes access when hunting, how much that changes what you need to prepare when you go hunting. I know that sounds, you know, super simple, but the difference between, you know, following the weather and going out when it's 76 degrees and still, you know, gorgeous gold leaves and, you know, thinking life is going to be pretty good and waking up to 15 inches of snow can be life or death if you're not prepared. And so making sure that you do that, in addition to making sure that you're being respectful to everything on the land, as far as landowners, roads, you know, that's always a big thing. The number of side-by-sides that have been coming through covered in mud is out of this world right now, and just reminding people that sometimes we lose access to private property on a lot of our walk-in access areas and stuff if people aren't respectful to those landowners, and making sure that you don't drive on muddy roads, you do close the gates even when it's 15 inches and it's hard to move that gate. We need to make sure we do those things.
So when hunting seasons are in full swing, I know that it is a busy time, especially for boots on the ground, and Brandon Werner is with us today also. And Brandon, I know that it's been a busy fall for you guys, and you guys have had your check stations. You've had all of the wildness going on, and how are you guys holding it together?
Oh, we're doing great. It has been a particularly busy year because we went mandatory CWD sampling in several of our herd units here close to Casper. So with that, we need more personnel out in the field talking to hunters, getting those samples, and we need more personnel in the office when a hunter has success and brings the deer in. So all in all, it's been a super busy fall. We had an increase in some antelope licenses around as well, but it was a really good year. The drought definitely kind of played a role into some things. Animals were a little bit harder to find, basically because they were concentrated around water. And then deer, they just don't move much when it's 70 degrees. You get like the first hour and the last hour of the day. In October, they're just not a good reason for them to move.
Brandon, even though we've had that dry fall to start with, now the weather has changed, and really, we're really cold here in Casper. And are you seeing a lot of things on the ground where maybe the animals are really starting to move where they weren't earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of our antelope, all of our deer, for mule deer anyway, within my region here around Casper are closed. But when the snow comes in, man, elk really like to travel around. So these late season elk hunts that we have going on can be really good with some cold and some snow. Especially like if you have a type one or an any elk license, I guess we have type two seasons going right now in elk area 19, it can be really good. You know, it's not as fun to get out there when it's cold and you're tromping through snow, but you have a lot better chance of like, oh man, I just cut a track. I'm going to get on that and follow it. But man, the mule deer too, like I said, they're closed right now, but it's a really good time to get out and see big mule deer because they're starting to rut and breed in that cold and snow. They stick out like a sore thumb up on that hillside, and you can see some really nice deer around right now.
That's one of the best parts about the snow being on the ground is you can actually see them.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome to see a gray deer or a tan elk. And we got a nice white blanket of snow. And I don't know if I want to say this word, but it hasn't been that windy yet. So the snow is kind of blanketed out in places and making you can get in there because, as you know, you get a lot of wind. The snow drifts, and even if you have the biggest, baddest side-by-side, sometimes you just can't get in there.
Real cool, Brandon. Here we go.
I think it just picked up out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Brandon mentioned something that is really neat, the movement right now of animals, and it really is this last storm that we got really started moving animals across the state. And boy, it driving, you know, the state the last couple of weeks has really been cool to see a lot of the mule deer on their migration routes, you know, everything that's kind of moving. And it's just a great time to remind folks, slow down, watch them. It is so fantastic to be able to observe. The number of folks pulled off with spotting scopes was really cool. Seeing them watch folks or watch the deer next to the road and stuff move through, and the bighorn sheep as well. But slowing down, remembering that they're crossing the road, there's going to be a ton of animals on the road. You know, every year we have something like 8,600 wildlife collisions between vehicles and wildlife. And just a reminder that, you know, that is a huge public safety, as well as, you know, obviously detrimental to wildlife. And so we do want to keep, you know, that in mind. And this wildlife movement is a big deal to game and fish and public safety. So keep your eyes out and try to avoid.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned people that were pulled off the side of the road and everything. I mean, that kind of causes an issue at some points, too. You know, we always hear about the bison jams or the bear jams up in the park and everything. And, you know, that gets frustrating for some folks. So you really need to make sure that you're pulled off the road and not blocking traffic, because that could cause an issue too.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, what I'm talking about is the one off who, you know, there's just one car who's pulled off and enjoying it. It's not the bear jams that we hear about in all of the other places. But yes, absolutely. Public safety is number one. And that's one of those things that people don't recognize, you know, the number of vehicles that get hit from behind by people trying to, you know, watch and see what the pulled off car is doing and so forth. So, you know, just keep your own safety in mind as well as that of wildlife and enjoy Wyoming's beautiful vistas and views, but be safe while doing so.
Brandon, yeah, go ahead.
I mentioned there's like 8,000 wildlife collisions a year, and of that, about 6,000 of them are mule deer. So yeah, they're rutting right now. I saw a little buck this morning. I live up in Barnum. I rarely see deer up there, a lot of pronghorn, but a little mule deer buck just going around looking for love, you know? So you really got to be careful at night with these deer on the road. So
looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's keep off the highways, Mr. Deer. That's for sure. So.
Brandon, it wasn't long ago, Brandon, that you and I were talking about the placement of some carcass dumpsters. And have people been using those?
Yeah, the one south of Glenrock got a lot of use this year. And I really want to applaud the people of Glenrock and Douglas. I'm sure there's a few Casper Coke folks coming down Mormon Canyon Road that dropped their carcasses there. But as for around Casper, I think a lot of people have been using the dump. We were so lucky, so fortunate that we have a dump that'll take animal carcasses, because we're seeing less and less of those around the state. So I want to say thanks to everyone that properly disposed of their deer and elk carcasses this year, and antelope too.
Yeah, and it is very important to make sure that you're properly disposing of those.
Yeah, you can actually get a ticket if you improperly dispose a deer or an elk carcass or even a moose. So
yeah, but more importantly, the tickets, you know, that's a deterrent, but hopefully you're doing it for the right reasons. And the fact that we're trying to prevent additional prions on the landscape that are the causative agent of chronic wasting disease. So the idea of not letting that carcass, you know, stay on the landscape or move it, let's say you harvested in one area, but you live in another, and then you choose to throw it on state land in the borrow ditch that maybe doesn't have CWD yet, you know, you're just contributing to the spread of that disease. And so we really, like Brandon said, appreciate everybody really stepping up and using those appropriate disposal locations and helping us, you know, try to keep those numbers down and figure out some solutions for chronic wasting disease. And in addition to that, just a huge thank you again to the Safari Club International, the Dallas chapter here in Casper, that did provide funding for some of those dumpsters across the state. And we're really, really thankful for them and their vision of helping out.
Brandon, you mentioned CWD and testing at like the check stations and everything earlier. Are you seeing a pretty good response from the hunters?
Yeah, so we did a ton of outreach. Janet did awesome with sending emails out. We sent letters to license holders, and we just did everything we could. My technician, he's calling people right now just to make sure that if they harvested, they got their deer sampled. So the public did awesome about finding us and getting their animals sampled. We tried to get people out in the field, like I said before, just to try to make it as easy as we can for these hunters to get their animal sampled, because we know it's extra work. You got to take off work to go hunting sometimes, and then if you get an animal down, the last thing you want to do is go find, you know, a game and fish employee to get it sampled when you want to go drop that deer off at the processor or whatever. So the public did phenomenal with getting their animals sampled in mandatory areas. I really want to say thank you for that.
That's so cool. And it's cool when people like play along like they're supposed to.
Exactly. And one of the other things too is we do always put an emphasis on that mandatory area, because, you know, that is an area that we are really trying hard to get more information on. But those other focus areas, and even if you're not highlighted that year, it's, we really appreciate everybody getting those samples in around the state, because, you know, there's only this year there were only 4 mandatory areas, I think, across the state, maybe 5. And so that's not a whole lot compared to the rest of the state that can be a focus area. And so just a huge thank you to everyone for paying attention to that and participating. And that information helps us, you know what the health of the herd is doing in each of these different areas around the state.
So we're, like I said earlier, moving toward the middle of November. And how are you thinking that things are going to look for the rest of the year, Brandon? I know it's hard to be a predictor. You're not a fortune teller, but I feel like weather will probably play a big factor in the seasons.
It will for sure. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous, because as dry as it was this summer, there's not as much quality forage on the landscape for the winter. So if we get a mild winter, you know, things will be fine. But if we get a really hard winter, they're probably going to go into this winter in a little bit less body condition, like they did last year when we had all that snow and rain and everything like that. But the deer that have been coming through my check stations, I've kind of been keeping an eye on them, looking at their back fat, and things are actually looking better than I thought they would. But really, time will tell. So this last year, we got done with our antelope classifications in August, and we've had the highest fawn production since 2015. So things are looking great. There's a lot of animals out there. We just need, you know, a mild winter, but we need to get enough snow so it turns into really good runoff in the spring and really good green forage out there.
So Mother Nature has to play part of this this game.
Yeah, exactly.
The biggest role in it.
Yep, that fine line between too much, too little, too hot, too cold. We all walk that consistently, don't we? But speaking of fantastic jobs that Brandon is taking on, in addition to now being a fortune teller, I would like to take some time to congratulate Brandon. He is the new Casper Region Wildlife Management Coordinator. He's replacing Justin Binfit, who has moved into Wildlife Administration. And so welcome to the team.
Yeah, Brandon, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited. Opportunity was here, jumped on it. So it'll be great.
So now how will the role change for you at this point? Because I know that you were really involved with a lot of different aspects of everything in the Casper region, but is it going to get even busier for you?
Yeah, so now I'll be over the Douglas wildlife biologist, the Sundance wildlife biologist, and our habitat biologist as well. So I'll get to see the Black Hills more. I'll get to see the Laramie Mountains a little bit more and spend less time around Casper, but I'll still be here. I'll be really, really involved still. So the turkeys of Casper, I'll still be after them with my new biologist.
Thank goodness, man. We had somebody that was on the job. We can't get rid of him.
No. Turkeys are a kind of special passion for me. I took over Joe Sandrini's spot as the state turkey chair. So we'll be after those birds.
And it's also time for people who are interested in a wildlife biology job to keep their eyes open, because both the Casper and the Douglas biologist positions will be open. And so we'll be looking for some pretty fantastic candidates. So, you know, they would have big shoes to fill, but we're excited and really look forward to the leadership that Brandon is going to bring to the wildlife in Casper and a new outlook on things. And cheers to you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, we look forward to hearing more about things that are going on in this region over the next few months. And let's get you back on in a little while to maybe get it more of an update. I know the Type 8 license is the first year for Area 7 for that and elk. So we'll touch on that in just a couple of weeks.
Sounds fantastic. Hey, thanks so much, Drew.
We'll see you.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Drew along with Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where the hunting deals are fantastic right now because they've got anything and everything you need when you're heading out into the field. And I know that we've got about every season still in. We're just talking a little bit ago about our elk seasons that are in this weekend. They open back up in 48. And Brian, I know getting out there, you did a pretty good hunt last week and got a bull to put in the freezer.
Yeah, it was a great morning. We just, kind of got lucky enough to drive into an HMA area, and there was 120 elk kind of out in the flats, and just worked on getting a little sneak on them and getting a good shot on them.
So it was one of those situations where you didn't have to go way back in, and there was snow and cold weather, and I know that you were prepared for taking that long hike.
Yeah, we had that snow, a few days prior, so that definitely helped. We crossed a fence line and saw a bunch of elk tracks, and we made a quick talk about maybe following those tracks, and then didn't follow the tracks, and then got to a vantage point where we could see up on top of a hill and look back and realize that we were probably within 500 yards of those elk when we first came through the fence line. But it did make the roads awfully sloppy. We went in frozen, but then coming out was that bentonite, messy, muddy kind of junk. So that did kind of change our plans for the rest of the weekend, because it was just getting warmer. And one of the guys I was with had a cow tag, and we thought about going back out and seeing if we could shoot a cow on Sunday, but we chose not to muddy up all the equipment. And we've still got a couple months on those cow tags back there.
Right. So one of the things you mentioned, you go out and you glass, and in a situation like that, the snow really helped make those elk pop. Mm-hmm. And we were talking a little bit about our hunt last year, where if you're not used to seeing elk all over the place, it's hard to really spot what you're looking for.
Right.
So having that good optic is really a good suggestion and a good idea.
Yeah, and it's like every hunt's a little bit different. Sometimes you're just ridge hopping from draw to draw, and you're kind of just looking for stuff that might just be a few hundred yards away. But when you're looking at critters that are half mile, 2 miles out, having a good set of optics and then a good platform to rest them on, whether it's just a good tripod, a set of trigger sticks, and the quality of glass definitely makes a difference. And there's some inexpensive glass that'll get a guy by for the most part, but if you're spending a lot of time looking at hillsides and looking for elk that are maybe bedded down next to a rock in a shadow off behind below a big tree, having that good glass with a nice objective to give you a little bit better opportunity is definitely worth the money.
And I know that there are a lot of different brands, and a lot of them work pretty much the same way. They just have a different logo on them or a name on them and everything. And you guys have a lot of good selections here in the store for that.
Yeah, these optics manufacturers, you know, they're kind of limited too with the glass companies that provide the glass for them, and it's a commodity, so they're buying the best glass at the best time, you know, for, you know, the Swarovskis, and they're looking at the highest level glass at that time. So there might be some variations, but there's just not a whole lot of glass companies. I think there's basically four glass companies, similar to batteries. You know, there's like four battery manufacturers, right. But one guy puts Duracell on it, the other guy puts O'Reilly's,
right?
You know, and so same product, just kind of branded differently. But spending the money, you know, I do feel that, especially in optics, you get what you pay for. So if you've got a budget, you're going to spend $500 on a set of binoculars. You know, that $500 straight across the board, whether it's Leupold or Burris or Vortex, anything in that $500 range is probably going to be pretty similar glass. But how you see through it might vary a little bit just based on the body of the or the objective of the glass.
So when you mentioned this with, you know, like the sticks or whatever, something to keep it stable, because mm-hmm. you don't realize how shaky your body really gets. But I mean, you guys have a whole selection of those too, you know, for shooting sticks or to put your optics on.
Yeah, and like, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth over the years. Like, you know, I usually have a bipod mounted on my gun, but most of the time I'm in timber, and so I can rest on a tree or a big rock or that type of thing. But, you know, this last week we're out in sagebrush, out in the flats, and so my little 6x9 bipod doesn't help at all, right. You know, when you're trying to see over that sagebrush. So that's where, like, the trigger sticks comes in, where you can adjust the height. You know, and of course, there's very few days where we don't have wind, you know, so to try to stabilize that barrel when you're just, you know, trying to shoot freehand, especially when you're looking at something, you know, 300 to 500 yards, you know, you want to try to give yourself the best opportunity you can. So, you know, however that is, but again, you got to practice with it. You know, if you just go to the range and shoot off of sandbags and never shoot off of your shooting sticks, you know, you're going to have probably a little bit different results.
I had a guy tell me, because we had talked last year about how we were, you know, what we're going to do, and I had, you know, my sticks with me when we were out on our hunt, and I had a guy say, oh, well, that's cheating. When you use sticks like that, that's cheating. You should be able to. I'm like, you've never done it, have you? You've never been out there.
Yeah, well, at that point, you better just shoot with open sights too, yeah. Right?
I mean, I'm just going to throw the gun at it. And yeah. Maybe I'll hit it.
Yeah, I'll just jump on him and cut his throat with a knife. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I'll really be barbaric then. Huh? But obviously, making sure that you have the tools before you get out there, and like you said, use them. I mean, you can go out to Steckenhoff's and try out those sticks, and mm-hmm. and that's what I did a couple of times last year, because I'd never shot a rifle off of sticks before, and right. It's not as easy as you think.
No, and I think what works for one guy doesn't necessarily work for the other, you know. And I like the Primo shooting sticks because I like the adjustability, and, you know, each leg can be adjusted just by handling the grip of it. And then, you know, so we've hunted a lot of times on the side of a hill, and if you're using a regular tripod or bipod or monopod or whatever, I mean, you have to, you know, usually it's got, you know, either a cam lock that you have to adjust each leg individually, right. Where like those trigger sticks, I mean, you want one button and you're adjusting all three legs at the same time.
Yeah, and making sure that you know have the stuff that you need. And, you know, something else, you mentioned that there was snow when you were out there, so that means mm-hmm. it was pretty cold, and your hands get all really cold, so you got your bulky gloves on, uh-huh. but then you pull the glove off, and then you're like, oh, my hand's freezing, so.
Yeah, I didn't know really what to expect, you know, and I did have a pair of long johns on and a pair of, you know, fairly lightweight pants, but, you know, my first shot, you know, I was trying to get up under over the sagebrush, and I was laying down on the ground trying to get a shot. And so I was laying on the ground for 3 to 4, I don't know, 5 minutes probably. And, you know, I took a glove off so I could shoot. And by the time I was done with it, you know, my trigger finger was like numb, you know, mm-hmm. I'm like blowing on it, doing whatever you can to get the life back into it. So yeah, it's, you know, just kind of being prepared and kind of expecting like different scenarios. I mean, I think you just have to be ready for about anything.
Yeah. Well, come on in and check them out here. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, before you head out on a hunt. And we talk about shooting with rifles, but bird season is upon us. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to go out and do some goose hunting or whatever, mm-hmm. you do the layout blind. So, I mean, you're laying in on the ground, so you really got to be ready for that too.
Yeah, and when I'm hunting ducks and geese, I'm definitely not walking. It's almost, I kind of dress like I would be sitting in a tree stand.
Right.
You know, so bigger boots, bigger gloves, you know, something that's easy to on and off, so I can, you know, take the gloves off to go, you know, pull the trigger type of deal. But, you know, you're wearing neck gaiters and scarves and hearing protection and, you know, beanies, and you just, you know, things are just a little bit different in that scenario.
Well, come on in and check them out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. And when you get out in the field, if you come in here, you know you're going to have all the gear you need. Or check them out online, RockyMountainSports.com.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And it's Drew and Brian back at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, where every time I come in, I always like to eyeball the guns that are out on the counter or on the wall. And the selection here is one of the biggest in Casper, if not the biggest. And one of the great things is if you find a gun that you want to like try out, you can like pick it up and hold it and feel it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got I'm not going to give you a number, but we have the most guns of anyone in the state of Wyoming. And the nice part is, and we get this from a lot of people, especially this time of year where people are traveling through, that they are curious as to, you know, like, can I actually touch those things? Like, yeah. They're on the wall. Like, I've never been to a state where, you know, guns are just out and about and we can touch them and hold them and shoulder them and do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's why they're out, is so you can, you know, make sure that it fits you and that it shoulders well, especially with shotguns when you're, you know, pointing, and sometimes the comb of the stock is a different angle than what you're used to. So, yeah, we got them out on the floor, and handguns again, same program.
And what I like about it is you have a lot of different variations. So, you know, you have a longer one, you have a shorter one, because not every person fits a shotgun the same.
Yeah, and it depends on what a guy's looking for, right? If they're looking for a tactical home defense shotgun, you know, you might be looking at a 16 or 18-inch barrel. But if you're going to be, you know, getting a first gun for a youth, you know, you want something with a short length of pull and probably a shorter barrel, maybe a 22, 24-inch barrel. You know, most adults will shoot a 26 or 28-inch barrel, especially in the 12 and 20 gauges. But We've got a lot of options, and it's not just what you see on the floor. I mean, we've got a bunch in the back that, you know, we just unfortunately can't get displayed out because we just don't have the room.
Right. And when people are deciding what gun that they're looking for, I know you talk about you shoot the 28 gauge when you're goose hunting or turkey hunting, and some people would rather have a 20 gauge or a 12 gauge or 16 gauge. What are you going off of? Is it just comfort or...?
Yeah, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, I don't like to pack around as heavy of a shotgun anymore, especially if I'm pheasant hunting and that kind of stuff. And we're kind of custom loading some 28 gauge shells with that tungsten, you know, so we're basically shooting, you know, the traditional turkey loads at geese, which, you know, we just don't need to have a big 12 gauge sitting in a blind anymore.
And the difference between the gauges is just the size of the shell, right?
Yeah, your powder shot size. Yeah, there's a handful of variations, but obviously, you know, when you have a 12 gauge 3.5-inch shell, you're getting quite a few more pellets in that than you would in a 28 gauge, you know, 2 3/4-inch.
Right, and you had mentioned the weight. Actual, if you have a bigger gun like a 28 gauge, that it weighs less than a 12. And did they do that for recoil? Is that
It's just, you know, less steel. I mean, okay. Smaller barrel, smaller receiver. Just in general, I mean, everything's a little bit lighter, and, you know, you don't have to have, you know, a real heavy gun to kind of help reduce the recoil. So they just typically tend to be, you know, and they're typically, you know, 410s and 28 gauges, you know, tends to be more of a youth type of gun. So they do kind of size them down for the youth.
Little easier to carry and shoot. And I'll tell you that there are lots of options. And that's one of the great parts about coming here is you can, you know, ask questions, because the gun counter is really knowledgeable when it comes to those type of things. And I know a lot of folks that look at, you know, handguns for conceal and carry and mm-hmm. you know, just plinking around. And the amount of guns that you have here, like, you're bound to find something that you really want.
Yeah, and really, the, you know, almost everybody comes in with some kind of notion that they've, you know, their buddy has a, you know, a particular brand or flavor of gun, and so they want to start looking at that. And then, you know, they might say, well, it doesn't quite fit my hand quite right, or I don't like how this feels, or I don't like the sight. we've got, you know, a ton, and almost every manufacturer makes some type of a, you know, concealed carry type of gun. So whether it's a small capacity, you know, 8-round, you know, XDS, or a double stack, you know, Hellcat, they a lot of times, you know, you put the guns side by side, they almost, you know, frame wise, they almost look identical.
It goes back to the, we were talking earlier about the optics. It's mm-hmm. there's only a few manufacturers and everything out there. So
Chevy, Ford, Dodge, you know. I mean, you know, yeah. you know, you got Dodge guys, you got Chevy guys, and we've got Glock guys, and we got Springfield guys, and we've got FN guys and CZ guys, and you know, I mean, it just there's so many different options out there. And you know, the best thing to do is, you know, put them in your hand and see which one feels the best, because anymore, we're seeing the reliability on these guns. Like, we're not seeing very many problems with the manufacturer defects or having to send stuff back because they're not cycling properly. For the most part, you know, these guns are all made, you know, with good quality engineering, you know.
Right. So come on in and check them out here at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. If you're looking for a new rifle or a new shotgun to head out this fall, it's a great option to come here and check them out. And we had an election just recently, and I think we'll probably be able to have stock in a lot of our ammo and guns that maybe we were concerned about.
Well, the nice part is we're not going to have a bunch of panic buying, right? Yeah. You know, and you know, the current administration would have probably tried to shut down, you know, assault weapons, you know, whatever we want to consider those to be. And you know, it doesn't have to worry about, you know, a guy with a semi-automatic shotgun, you know, having their gun confiscated from them.
So. Right. Yeah. So come on in, check them out right here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper, and RockyMountainSports.com.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we're back on Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. And Lindsay Stillwell from HD Outdoors is in studio. And Lindsay, I know that it has been a great fall for a lot of hunters and veterans here in Wyoming.
We have had, 100% success this year so far. So that's been really exciting.
I've seen a lot of the pictures, and it's cool to see, you know, I know you went out with Cedar Ridge Outfitters and did some hunting with Tony and got the job done there. And then you guys have just really taken these hunters out all over the place for different kind of species, too.
Yeah, yeah. We only had one deer tag this year. We just filled that last week. We did, we were with Cedar Ridge. We've been over in Area 7 for elk. We've been in 19. We were in 23 a week before last. Success everywhere. We went to Jackson Hole, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation up there. That chapter wanted to donate a hunt to a veteran and host the entire thing. So we took a veteran from right here in Casper, took her up there and got her an elk. And that was a crazy experience. It was just beautiful. She had the best time. They had a whole camp set up for her and for all of us. And it was pretty amazing.
That's awesome. And it goes to show how quickly HD Outdoors really took off. You've only been around just a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I feel like it's starting to gel, you know, a lot in the community and in the state. And I think that we're starting to get like better, you know, we're putting ourselves out there a little bit more. You know, at first we were a little bit afraid of that because we just didn't know, like, growth wise, like what we could handle. And I think we're learning now, like, what we can handle. And with us doing things throughout the year, it's a matter of just finding balance. You know, our highlight for us is not the big game. It's just literally trying to create experiences year round. And so trying to make sure that there's always a balance of that and a balance there where we know we can donate that time and make those things happen. And I think we're finally getting into that stage where we know we understand what we're comfortable with. We know where we need to grow more. And I think we know now, like, that these dreams in the beginning that we had, they're realistic and they're capable, you know, we're capable of doing that. And a lot of that, I mean, only would be coming to fruition, all of that, because of our generous community and all the right donations that we get. And I think as we continue, you know, we've got some more outfitters that are kind of coming on board and some more people that are reaching out to us. I think we'll see that expansion on not the amount of hunts that we do. You know, we want to keep that number still about the same, around the 15 to 20 mark, just based on it being 100% all-inclusive. You know, and we want to make sure, too, that all of those hunts have the exact same amount of effort put into them. And so keeping those numbers the same, we know that, one, you know, when it comes to travel, Hotels, food, lodging, outfitters, the taxidermy, the processing, shipping if needed, any of those things. We want to make sure all of those things are covered 100%, but also that that veteran feels like each and every one of them feel like we're there with them 100%. And that's one thing, you know, even talking with some Game and Fish representatives this past week, is the one thing that, I mean, we make all those promises and hold to that strong, but we also make sure no matter what they're doing, if it's big game, if it's birds, if it's fishing, that they're sent out with a representative, and it's always one-on-one. You know, we try to make sure that we don't create something and then say, hey, see ya, go have fun, you know.
Right.
We want to make sure that too, like if they're not an outdoors person and that's not something that is in their lifestyle, that they're you know, they're safe in their environment and they're getting the most out of it.
You know, I know that HD Outdoors is more of a family atmosphere for a lot of these veterans. You know, maybe they have PTSD, maybe they have disabilities, but being able to interact with someone that shares that same issue or knows what you're where you're coming from is so great.
And I think that's why, like, when you look at our social media or you even see us out and about, you're going to see the people consistently, you know, throughout. Mm-hmm. And we have a few of our veterans that have come on board now that are just volunteering. And so instead of just coming to enjoy whatever we have going on that day or that weekend, they're coming in and like being part of the volunteer side. And that camaraderie, I think, and that social aspect and support, I think it's not only something they need. I think it's something everybody needs. And so I think it's like it's become something that I think in the beginning we wanted to like host certain things. And I know you and I have talked about that before. And as we've grown and this thing kind of like takes form over and over again, I think we find that that has become like such a thing that we didn't realize was going to be so huge. And so I think that's ultimately when we look at why do we create this and why do we want to move forward and why are we going to continue, is because we know it works. We've seen it work for us. We've seen it work for so many other people. And that's why we want to make sure all year long we can get our vets outdoors. So, and I think, you know, we'll continue to do that as much as possible and continue to grow around the state. I'd like to see us continue to grow where we have some of these events in other areas of the state too.
One of the great parts about HD Outdoor is it doesn't matter where in Wyoming you are. If you're a veteran, you can contact them, reach them. And it also doesn't matter what your mobility is because you guys are able and capable of helping anyone.
Half of our hunters this year, we had, I would say 50% were very physically able. The other 50% were not. We actually this year opened our doors for the first time to a couple of people from out of state based, and that's a first. So for us, we've only worked with Wyoming veterans. This year, based on these this couple of veterans situation, they were both terminally ill. Their mobility was literally almost zero. I think, you know, that's where we want to make sure, like everybody knows, like whatever your disability rating, no matter what, with all these programs, like it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're physically able 100% or if you're in a wheelchair, like we are going to make it accommodations for you 100% and we're going to figure it out. And, you know, on these hunts with these couple of veterans, like there was, you know, there was a lot of mobility and you got to get creative.
You've done so many big events through the year to raise money and funds, like Clays for the Brave, which was huge. There were so many people that came out just to support. And like we talked earlier, once you're in HD Outdoors, you're in that family. And I feel like this has really opened the eyes to other people in the state. And, you know, you've mentioned Game and Fish a few times where, you know, it's important to have a good working relationship with them. And you guys are helping out with a fundraiser that's coming up for a former member of Game and Fish.
Yes. Yep. So I was called by a family member of Scott Talbot to help out with fundraising. And so this family member really wanted to do something. And so Scott said, call Lindsay. And so this is where we're at, is we're creating a sporting clay shoot, very similar to Clays for the Brave. And it's very soon. So it's November 23rd is the shoot. And it's going to be right here in Casper, right above the event center, right where we hosted Clays for the Brave last year. And the night before, what they've decided to do is do a Calcutta banquet. And so the banquet is going to, the doors are going to open at 6. And they're going to have a cocktail hour. And then everything's going to kind of get going about 6:30, 6:45. They're going to auction off the teams. And then they do have some auction items coming coming in. They have a lot of fun stuff, a lot of guns. The SCI is coming. So Scott at one point did work for the SCI. And so they're sending three representatives, I believe, out here for that event. So they're going to bring in some really amazing hunts that are going to be for auction, too. So the and you don't have to be part, like if you don't want to shoot, but you just want to come support Scott, you can just you can just come to the banquet and you can be part of that evening. You can be part of the auction. If you want to buy a team or you just want to, you know, be part of the auction items, or if you just want to come and support Scott and his family, and then get on, you know, we have a GoFundMe that we started too. So we can get on the GoFundMe for Scott Talbot and you can donate money there. If you want to be part of that evening, the best way to be part of that is to email Scott's sister, Betsy, debolt10@gmail.com. So it's debolt10@gmail.com. And that's where if you wanted to buy a table or a few seats for you and your friends to go support this. Now with Scott, I mean, for those of you that don't know, like he was diagnosed very, very recently in the past few weeks with pancreatic cancer, and it's stage four. He went down to Texas to MD Anderson, came home, got packed up, and he's rented a house, and he's back down there and starting treatment. So he's going to be doing regular treatment and a trial. A lot of people that are calling and asking are like, where, you know, the funding, where is it going? So we're, all of that is going towards the travel and towards keeping him down there and helping him out and making sure he can stay there and make sure all of that, he has help with all of that while he's going through this.
And you know how Wyomingites stand up and help other Wyomingites, and he definitely is from Wyoming. And, you know, Scott is a Wyoming guy. He was born here, right?
Wyoming raised, you know, ranch raised down in Laramie. Like, he's been around forever. And for those of you that have ever worked with him, if you've had the opportunity, that's how I met him, was actually, you know, in working with veterans.
So obviously Scott's a guy that has helped a lot of people, and it's always good to help give back. And so Lindsay, give us some of the details of the shoot.
So the teams of four are only $550, and that includes your ammo. That also includes your dinner the night before at the Calcutta, your entry into that. And then you're also going to get lunch after the shoot. So Eggington's is catering both, which is great. So you're going to get into the banquet. You're going to be able to have dinner for your team of four. And then the next day afterwards, they're going to feed you again, plus your ammunition for the team. So it's an amazing price. And again, that is November 23rd. And
so then, that's the weekend before Thanksgiving. So you may have family in town. That'd be a great way to get the family out.
It's also the same day as the RMEF banquet. So the RMEF banquet, we're going to have a gun there that was donated on his behalf. We're going to have representatives there raising money right there in the check-in area out in the hallway. And then they're going to auction a gun off during the auction, where the proceeds will then go back to the Scott Talbot benefit. And then in December on the 7th, the Winter Sheep Banquet is in Lander, and we generously got another gun donated for that one. And so they're going to be raising money there.
It is a great opportunity to help out one of our own. You can get into the radio station app. We have all the information about the shoot, about the Calcutta, about the banquet, and to find out more ways to help out Scott. Well, Lindsay, we sure appreciate you giving us all the information and all you're doing with HD Outdoors. That's going to do it for another week of Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. Again, you can listen to all of our episodes right in the radio station's app on demand. We'll see you next week.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.